Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, and they were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "Truly, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today, God, for your blessings, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord, for all that we've heard so far. Lord, I pray that you will be lifted up, that you might be glorified in our worship service. Lord, that we might feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, we ask that there's someone here today that is lost, that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their lostness, that they might come to know you and trust you as Lord and Savior of their life, that they might be filled spiritually. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in your precious name we ask all these things. Amen. This miracle must have been especially important because it's mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. He's traveled a way across the sea simply to get some rest. Imagine Jesus healing the diseased. Imagine working all day, standing in the crowds and people pressing in on him. It'd be kind of like being at Walmart on Dark Friday night, where everybody crowds in on you. Well, in a little while, it gets tiresome. So Jesus has crossed the sea, and he looks and sees a multitude of people following him. Now, it's late, and the evening meal is coming up, and the people were hungry. And Jesus Christ wants to feed them. Now, you're talking about a mission impossible. The Bible tells us there's 5,000 men. More than likely, they tell us there's close to 20,000. 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, we got to go to Israel, and we stood at this site where Jesus preached this message and fed the 5,000. And it is a beautiful hill there along the Sea of Galilee, and it's kind of where he stood on top, and it's kind of in a curve, and literally you could see, and if you talked, you could hear a long ways off because the sound carries in a place like that. And it's this I want to talk to you today about what Jesus does. You see, Jesus Christ is really all we need in life, isn't he? He means everything to me. He's all I need to make it through life. He said, Brother Bill read a moment ago, he said, I am the only way. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. It's most important today that if you are here and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never really invited him into your life. Oh, you may have come to church all your life, but you've never had a real personal relationship with Jesus. Today, you need that. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. Brother Danny and I were talking a while ago. It's 2 weeks ago now, I believe. We went on a hunting trip up in Memphis, and the guy who run the place, we talked to him about different things, and he was planning for next year. We got news the other day that he fell over dead at the breakfast table. We don't know. We make plans for tomorrow. We make plans for Christmas, don't we? But we don't know if really we'll be here. Today is the day of salvation. It's the only time we have is right now. We're not guaranteed you'll be here tomorrow or after that. But I want you to see this morning that Jesus Christ is really all that we need in life. First thing I want you to notice about this passage of Scripture, there's a serious lack here, a serious shortage that day. One shortage was very obvious, the other was not. You see, the shortage is one of them. The crowd needed food. The crowd that's come, like I said, maybe 20,000 men and women all together. Now, this is a picture of a person without the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not you know it, there is a hunger and a thirst in a person's life for something that satisfies them. We try to satisfy that hunger. We try to satisfy that thirst with all the things the world gives us. We try to satisfy it with money. It just doesn't work. We try to satisfy it with pleasure. It just doesn't work. And we are looking at a society in America today and all throughout the world that trying to fill that thirst, trying to fill that hunger with a synthetic or fake food, something that does not satisfy. Some people are turning to pills and possessions. Those things do not last in our life. What we really need, the thing that we really need the most that will satisfy, is Jesus Christ. If you will give your life to Jesus Christ today, he will fill that void in your life. You see, when God made us, I believe he made us in his image to have fellowship with him. But in the garden, what happened? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there left a void there, that void of fellowship in their life, and there was a lostness. And now every one of us that are born, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born sinners. I enjoyed our study this morning in Romans. You see, we are born, and I loved it when Brother Perry said, you don't have to teach that little two-year-old to be mean. They just are. Man, they learn to holler. They learn to hit or spit, or whatever they do. And you know what? They don't mean a whole lot about it, but it's that rebellion in them coming out. And if you leave that alone, and like he said, if you don't correct them when they get 10 or 11 or 12, you've got a problem on your hands. Well, Jesus Christ wants us to come to him. Now, the disciples lacked faith. The people lacked food, but the disciples lacked faith. And Jesus asked Philip a question. The Bible tells us that he wasn't worried about the answer, for Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But he asked Philip a question to test him. And Jesus says, Philip, where can we buy food for all of these people? Now, Philip, his faith was pessimistic, wasn't it? It was one of those faiths that when you ask a question like that, you grab your calculator and you start calculating what I'm going to do. Well, he says, you know what, Lord? There's not enough money. What it's saying is a denarii was a day's wages, 200 days. Is what he says, there's not enough money in 200 days' wages to buy the bread, to feed this many people. And if there was, where were we going to get it? We're out in the middle of nowhere. Where can we get that much food? You see, his faith was lacking there. He saw human ways to do it. You know how many times we come up with the same problem? We lack faith. Jesus tells us to do something. And we say, well, Lord, you know, I just don't see how this is going to work out. We try to figure it out. Manly Beasley once said when he was in a place where he was teaching, faith doesn't figure. Faith obeys. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith simply takes God at his word. When God says something, then you trust him, whether you know how it's going to work out or not in life. You see, Philip looked at the purse and he figured, hey, there's just not enough money to buy the food. And there's no place to get it, Lord, to feed such many people, a magnitude of people. And he says, this truly, Lord, must be impossible. You have that kind of faith? You're always pessimistic about things? God's saying, well, you know, do this, and, well, we can't. People always tell me, preacher, I just don't see how we're going to be able to do that. And I usually say, well, we can't, but God can. You see, I serve a powerful God. I serve a miracle-working God. They had seen the miracles. They had just witnessed the healings and of the diseased, and yet Philip still didn't get it. Andrew's a little bit better, but Andrew has an optimistic faith. He questions the love of God, but yet he's committed to him. Andrew went out and found a little boy. He went looking for food, didn't he? He didn't know where he was going to get it, but he at least went out and looked for it. And he comes back with this little boy, and he says, Lord, here's 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. Here's a little lad, Lord, who barely has enough to feed himself. What is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish among so many people? Well, the reason he failed in his faith is, you see, he had a flaw in his life. And the Bible tells us, we learn that if we're going to have faith, it's got to be a faith in Jesus Christ, a complete trust in Jesus Christ, a total commitment to Jesus Christ. Andrew's flaw was that he simply left Jesus out of calculations. You see, God can take a little and turn it into what? A lot. God can take just a few people and bless them and cause a revival. God can take 12 men that didn't have a whole lot of faith, and yet they set the world on fire when the Holy Spirit came into their life. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ was far more interested or concerned about their lack of faith than he was the lack of food. But there was 2 problems. 1, a lack of food. 2, a lack of faith. Let me tell you something. You want to please God as a person? Nothing pleases God more like faith. And nothing pains God more than doubt. You see, he wanted these disciples to simply say, okay, Lord, we know that all things are possible if you say, and here's the loaves and here's the bread. Now, bless them and take care of the feed. Well, all these miracles that he had performed, they still didn't have the faith in God that they needed. And folks, I see churches and I see individuals go through life. God works in mysterious ways. He blesses. How many of you have been blessed this week by God? Let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you didn't raise your hand, shame on you. You're sitting in an air-conditioned building. Well, I don't know if it's air-conditioned or not. It's pretty hot up here. You're sitting in a nice, comfortable pew with lights. You're sitting with nice clothes on, probably, or at least clothes on. And we heard beautiful music. Half the world can't hear that. Half the world doesn't have that. Thanksgiving Day, how many had you had something to eat? Raise your hand. We stuffed ourselves, didn't we? Around the world, about half the world, or maybe more, are starving to death because they don't have food. Folks, we have been blessed by God. We need to look to him by faith and trust him. But we're so slow to understand that God wants us to live by faith. God wants us to simply say, okay, Lord, we're going to trust you whether we know it's what's going to happen or not. That's faith. Faith is substance. Faith is substance of things hoped for. You see? Faith is putting your trust in God and believing a thing is so, even though it may not be so at that time, so that it'll be so in the future. Sunday school teacher was illustrating the dangers of alcohol. We know the dangers of alcohol. And I never will forget, she filled a glass with alcohol and dropped earthworm in that alcohol. Alcohol, the worm swam around a few minutes and then died, just curled up and died. Teacher looked at the glass and said, now, you see there? What does this tell y'all about alcohol? Little boy raised his hand and said, I know. She said, okay, Johnny, what does it tell you? If you drink alcohol, you won't have worms. Now, you might think that's silly, pretty silly, isn't it? But you know what? We see Jesus illustrate to us time after time after time that I will bless you as my children. And then when a crisis comes, we look to everybody in the world except who? Jesus. And really, when a crisis comes our way, Jesus is all we need. He is the first one we are to look to. I love it when somebody tells me, preacher, I'm going to have a surgery this coming week or next week or something. You don't have to come, because Jesus is there. All you have to do is pray. You know, I know that the greatest thing I can do is pray. And I don't have to be standing by your bedside to pray for you. Jesus hears me wherever I'm at. I was telling Brother Robert a while ago, he said he had surgery Tuesday. And I said, Brother Robert, I've got a stress test that day myself. I can't be there, but I will pray for you, and you count on it. We'll be praying, and he said, that's all I need. You see, folks, that's putting your faith in God. No matter how it turns out, we're all right. Because our faith is not down here. Our faith is in Christ in heaven. We have a hope. And whenever we doubt God, we're saying that something is impossible. Or you might be saying, well, something's kind of illogical. But the things that are impossible with men are not impossible with God. God makes all things right. Every problem that we have is just an opportunity for us to believe God and for our faith to grow and God to bless you. If you're here this morning and you've got a problem in your life, turn it over to Jesus. I don't mean just in words. I mean really, turn it over to Jesus. He's going to work it out. It'll work out for good or bad, but He's still there. He hasn't left you. You see? He's always there. And then not only do we have a problem, we have a selfless lad here. John tells us that the little boy gave his lunch. He's very special. That little boy is very special. Why? Because he shared his lunch. Think about it. He's only got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and those fish were, I've seen the fish. They're about like a minnow. Sardines. 2 of them things. I don't think they'd last me all day. But these 5 loaves are little 5 wafers. And also, they're barley loaves, so we know he was a poor little lad, because barley loaves are what the poor people ate. But he shared. Now, notice what was transferred to Christ is transformed into much. That brings me to another point. You come and give your life to Jesus Christ, and when you give your life to Jesus Christ, He will transform your life into something beautiful. I'll guarantee you. Before Jesus Christ, we're lost. After Jesus Christ, we're born again. The Bible says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been transformed. We now are on our way to eternal life in heaven. We now have Jesus Christ in our life. You know why the little boy shared? Because he cared. He cared in his life. He didn't have to give it. Nobody said, boy, we're going to take your 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're going to feed these people your lunch. No, the Bible says he gave it to Andrew. And I personally believe he was caring. And because he cared, he shared his meal. You can share without caring, but you cannot care without sharing. And folks, when we're transformed into something new, when we're transformed in a new creature, we can't help tell people about Jesus Christ. That lesson we studied this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Listen, folks, when you have that kind of power in your life, and we do, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, He comes in, He gives us everything in Christ. You've got that power. You've got that dynamite power in your life. You've got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost power, the resurrection power in your life. He transforms your life. And folks, you can't help but tell people about Jesus Christ. If you love them, if you care for the lost, that's what Jesus says. Go out and invite them to come to Jesus Christ. Not only that, he dared. This little boy believed Jesus for a miracle when nobody else did. Now, 12 grown disciples who had seen miracle after miracle after miracle, yet it was a little lad who dared to believe in Jesus Christ and shared. You know what? I think Jesus has a real sense of humor. When we get to heaven, I know we'll understand that. But have you ever noticed how many were left over? I don't have enough fingers. I start saying, but 12. There was 12 disciples. I think he said, hey, boys, each of you grab your basket of bread. There's one for each of you who couldn't believe. That's pretty funny, isn't it? Out of those five loaves and two fish, he has 12 baskets full, one for every disciple. Now, folks, our faith in the Lord, it can do much if we'll just put our faith in him. It can transform our lives. It can help us through situations in life. It'll take us all the way to glory. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. And then not only do we have a lad that cared, we have a sovereign Lord. What does this miracle teach? Have you ever thought about what it teaches? You see, Jesus didn't just do miracles to show off. Have you ever thought about it? Now, I know if it had been me and you, we'd have probably said, look what we did. Well, that's what man likes. We like to show off. But Jesus didn't do that. The Bible says he took the bread and gave thanks. And that word thanks is the same word thanks that he took the bread and blessed it at the Lord's Supper in the upper room that night. You see, the bread Jesus blessed at feeding of the 5,000, it illustrated that this bread is Jesus Christ himself. For he said, listen, I am the bread of life. He that takes this bread, you see, he that eats this bread, I know what that, because in 35 it says that. You see, the miracle is not just about material bread. It's about the spiritual food prepared by the Heavenly Father to meet our spiritual needs. Jesus Christ is that bread of life. He is the source of our life. He's where we get our strength. This wasn't just a hillside picnic. This was a miracle that Jesus wanted them to see that, hey, if you're going to come to understand to heaven, you're going to have to come by the way of me. I'm the bread of life. I am that spiritual food that you need. He is the supply. It wasn't the lad that supplied it, nor was it Andrew that brought it. It was simply Jesus Christ. When he gave thanks and blessed it, he is the source of everything that we need this morning. You got a problem? He said, I came that you might have life. I came that you might turn to me. Cast your every care upon the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Everywhere in the Word of God, we read that Jesus is all we need in life. He is a sufficiency for life. I gave an estimate that it would have taken 15 tons of food to have fed this crowd. 15 tons. Now, I know we threw a pretty good sized dinner Thursday, but we didn't have no 15 tons. We had some pretty good-sized eaters there because I was there. I don't ever stop with one plate. You can probably tell that. But I tell you what, these people, the Bible says, were hungry. And then when they went away, it says, no one went away hungry. They were all filled. Why? Because Jesus is sufficient. I can tell you right now, they got all they wanted that day. And that's exactly of how much God you'll get today. If you'll simply trust him, if you simply put your faith in him, whether or not you've got a relationship with him or not, right now he wants you to come to trust him and he will fill you full. You'll be joyful, you'll be happy, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Whatever problem you brought in here, if you'll leave it at the feet of Jesus, trust Him, He will take care of it. If you're here and you've been saved and you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, we still have problems, don't we? We still fall short, don't we? We need to come back to Jesus and say, Lord, listen, I've messed up. I've fallen short. I've fallen away from You. Man, how many times have I watched people fall away from Christ? God didn't leave them. They left Him. You see, sin keeps us away from God, doesn't it? And it's just our nature sometimes to fall away. But let me tell you, He'll give you all you want of Him. I remember over in the Bible, little woman, the prophet of God said, listen, go out and borrow buckets, and borrow not a few, and I'll fill them with oil, or God will fill them with oil. And you know, she went out and got all the buckets she could, brought them, and the Bible says the oil didn't stop until all the buckets were filled. I've thought about that miracle many times. I've preached on that miracle many times. You see, she got all that she had, all that she wanted. I just think, well, you know what? If she'd went out and borrowed more buckets, she'd have had even more oil. Because God could have filled them all just as well as He filled those. And as Christians, God fills us, and He will give us all of Him that we make room for. Man, some of us need to clean house, don't we? We need to get rid of a lot of baggage in our life, a lot of junk in our life. And He is the satisfaction of life. They were all filled. Verse 35 says, He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. You see, Jesus is not only all we need, He's more than we need. There's not a hunger that He cannot satisfy. There's not a thirst that He cannot quench. There's not a hurt that He cannot heal. There's not a problem that He cannot solve. There's to the hungry, He's the bread of life. To the thirsty, He's the living water. To the sick, He's the balm of Gilead. To the dying, He's the resurrection and life. And to the darkened, He's the light. And to the outcast, He said, I'm a friend of sinners. What is He to you this morning? Is He the bread of life? He's all you need. He's all you need. If you will just come to Him, I can tell you, the Bible tells you that the Lord is so good. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, folks, I can't make you come down. I don't want to make you come down. I want the Holy Spirit to touch your heart at the point of your need so that when the invitation time is given, you'll say, you know, I've got problems. And when you realize that, you will come to the altar and just get on your knees and say, God, I've got so many problems, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust You to take care of them and leave them there. Trust Him. Faith is substance. It's trusting God. Even though you don't know how it's going to turn out, you're going to put your faith in Him. Would you come this morning? If you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior, would you come to Him? Whatever decision you need to make this morning, if you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God's led you, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank You today. God, I thank You that You are all we need. So many times we try to do things our way and we fall short. But God, I pray this morning that we'll just look to You for our guidance, for our strength, for every supply, because the Bible says You're sufficient. And Lord, if there's someone here today that just wants to get their life right, let them come. We give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.